In the name of our triune God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. What do you think of when you think about God? It's not easy, but perhaps it's not too hard for us to picture God creating the cosmos, setting the earth, moon, sun, and stars in their courses. We can imagine God still holding the universe together by his almighty power. We have a certain level of comfort with God, as one of the hymns in our hymnal describes him: immortal, invisible, God only wise, in light inaccessible, hid from our eyes. Maybe we like the idea of God being far away somewhere. It's hard for us to think about God being up close and personal. The same God who made the heavens knows us individually. He knows all about us. Maybe there are some things we would prefer God didn't know. Maybe there are things we would prefer he didn't observe. But God knowing us so deeply, so personally, is a good thing. It is a good thing because he cares for us. He loves us. He delights in us. We can be comfortable with God as our constant companion. The message of Christmas told us that Jesus is Emmanuel, meaning God with us. The messages we have heard over these 7 Sundays of Easter is that because Jesus is risen from the dead, he will be with us eternally. Not even death can separate us from him. How do we know this? How can we be sure of God's love for us and sure of our salvation? God's word addresses us directly and individually on that point. In our gospel reading from John, Jesus speaks about those future Christians who believe because of the witness of the apostles. He's talking about each of us, about you, about me. Jesus is talking to you. We have heard God's word, the good news of Jesus Christ crucified and risen, so that we, each of us alone and all of us together, might have eternal life. Jesus went on to say that he, God the Son, is in us, in you, just as he is in God the Father. God gave us this earthly physical life. Then God invited us to live in the Spirit, to be part of the life of the Holy Trinity, and now he adds to his family of believers. How does he do that? Our second lesson, the reading from the Revelation, answers that question. In the Revelation chapter 22, Jesus says that those who wash their robes have the right to access the tree of life and can enter heaven, the new Jerusalem, by the gate. If we would look back at the Revelation chapter 7, verse 14, we would see that the martyrs there were said to have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. These images obviously point toward the sacrament of holy baptism and how it benefits us. Jesus' death, his blood spilt for us, makes baptism in his name efficacious for the forgiveness of sins, the washing away of our trespasses, the cleansing of our guilt. As we will say in the baptismal rite, we are born children of a fallen humanity. In the waters of holy baptism, we are reborn children of God and inheritors of eternal life. As Martin Luther explains in his small catechism, it is not mere water that does this, but water transformed by the word of God. The King of the universe descends to come to us via the common element of water, making it the greatest bath water ever. There he shares with us the right to be part of his kingdom. That is not something we could ever earn or deserve. It is only by God's grace, by his unfathomable and infinite love for us. God addresses each of us, speaks to us directly, individually, personally, in the sacrament of holy baptism. There he calls us by name and tells us that we are his forever, that he will not leave us. We can depend on him. When life gets us down, when the devil throws our sins in our faces, we do not despair. We simply remember this great gift and promise that God has given us, and we can say with confidence, I am baptized. That assures us that we are not lost, we are not forsaken by God. We recall that he is near and that he cares for us. Baptism also reminds us that God's kingdom is not dead, not even stagnant, but growing. Yes, we know about the nationwide decreases in church attendance and membership over the past several decades. And yes, we see and feel how Christians are marginalized and disrespected and even persecuted today. But God is with us, and he is for us, and he will not let anything prevail against his church. Maybe what the church is experiencing is like the winnowing of the chaff or the refinement of gold in fire. In the midst of this, God gives us hope, and baptism is a sign of hope for the future. We read about this in the book of Acts, our first reading today. And we read how the apostles needed to fill the empty chair left by Judas so that the gospel could keep on spreading to all people. The Spirit guided them to select Matthias to the public ministry of word and sacrament. That was necessary to do. And so now, on this day in our congregation, a child will be baptized and added to the ranks of Christianity, to that great cloud of witnesses, to the family of believers stretching across time and space. By God's grace, the church marches on. Our faith and our belief are preserved and passed on one generation to the next. God is guiding us. Thank God, then, that he has claimed you as his in holy baptism, and rejoice in your salvation. Amen.